Also, if you would open your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 16. And as you're opening up to Acts chapter 16, I'm sure everyone has heard about the attack that has happened against the nation of Israel. If you haven't, the Hamas says terrorists attacked the nation of Israel Saturday. A lot of folks are dead and injured. Israel is God's people, and we're called to pray for God's people. And so I would encourage you today to put the nation of Israel on your prayer list and pray for those people over there. If you would do that, pray for them. Pray that this situation would be over very quickly. We're going to read from Acts chapter 16 and following there. I want to speak on the subject this morning of a heart changed. I will warn you, as I begin the first few verses there, I may not pronounce all these cities' names properly, but you have your Bible, so you can read them, okay? And I just wanted to warn you ahead of time, you know. So let's look at chapter 16, verse 6. It says, "Now when they had gone through Parrhasia, the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Messiah, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Father, as we unfold this chapter this morning, as we, Father, see how you work in the hearts of all types of people to hear the gospel message, I pray, challenge us today, guide us. May we hear from you this morning. We'd ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we travel through the book of Acts, we've come to the point where after visiting several of the churches that Paul had founded, Paul tried to go into a new territory for the Lord. He was traveling to Asia Minor there, but the Lord closed the door. The Lord closed the door on him. In verses 6 and 7 there, we're told that the Holy Spirit had a different plan for Paul and his missionary team. Everything had been going very smoothly up to this in this part of the second journey he was on. And I'm sure that Paul was kind of disappointed when he found the doors were closed, that he wasn't allowed to go where he wanted to go. But in verse number 9, the Bible tells us that Paul received a vision from the Lord. A man from Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And so Paul was very quick to respond to the call. And so Paul, along with Dr. Luke, and Timothy and Silas, they left immediately to go to Macedonia and to preach the gospel. Now, we might ask that question, why didn't the Lord allow Paul to go in the direction he wanted to go? Why? Why didn't God allow Paul to go where he wanted to go? Surely there were lost souls in that area. Surely there was some folks there that needed to hear the gospel in Asia Minor. We know that. So why go to Macedonia? As you know, we are to proclaim the gospel, but we understand this according to the word of God. We have that responsibility to proclaim the gospel. It's the Holy Spirit who opens up the heart for the reception of the word. God led Paul to Philippi because he was preparing hearts to receive the message of the gospel. And I think from this passage of scripture, we can see three different kinds of hearts that God has opened here for the gospel. And I think they represent those that we may encounter in our ministry and in our activities of the day. First, we will find in Lydia and her house, we find a tender heart towards the Lord. So a heart that was tender, wanting to hear about the Lord. And then Paul will mention a young lady who didn't have a tender heart, but she had a tormented heart, for she was a slave girl, and she was possessed by a demon. And then we'll see another type of a heart when we look at the jailer. And what we see there in the jailer is an old, toughened heart. an old toughened heart that God would open up to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at this, and let's look into this idea of seeing how God takes various different people and he opens their hearts to receive the message of Jesus Christ. Verse 11 we read, "Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Smolensk, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who we met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us, and she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. And the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' So she persuaded us." At Philippi, Paul was unable to follow his usual practice. As you know, when Paul was visiting a city, he would first go to the synagogue. There, as a trained rabbi, he would always have the assurance of an initial warm welcome. And he would have the opportunity, at least initially, to present the gospel for people to hear. But because of the small populations of Jews here in Philippi, they did not have a synagogue for him to go to. And so they would gather together around the river to pray. The first person that we see spoken about here is a woman by the name of Lydia. We know from the passage of Scripture that she was from Thyatira in Asia Minor. And the Bible tells us that she was a seller of purple. That spoke of cloth dyed with royal purple, a very, very costly type of garment. And so it is believed that she was a businesswoman and most likely very, very wealthy at this particular time. But the most important thing about Lydia is found in these words. It says that she was a worshiper of God, that she was a worshiper of the Lord. We saw before in the book of Acts, and we've talked about it a couple of different times, that when you read in the book of Acts, when you hear a Gentile person referred to as a worshiper of God or God-fearing, it refers to someone who has attached himself to the Jewish synagogue, and they believe in the one true God. And so here was this woman, this Gentile woman, who had put her faith in God. She believed that there was just one God, and she probably established that faith through the Jews back here in and had brought that her faith to Philippi. But because of her faith, she and the other women, because of her faith in the one true God, gathered together to worship him. And on this particular day, as they gathered to worship, we see Paul, who is God's faithful servant. As was the custom of the Apostle Paul, he took every opportunity to share the word of the Lord, share the gospel. And we find him here in this passage of Scripture sitting down and speaking with the women, total strangers, people he had never met before. But in Paul's eyes, they were people in need of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And so as he looked at this group of ladies gathered together to pray, and the Bible tells us here that he spoke to them. Now that little phrase, spoke to, means this, that he just had a personal conversation with them. When we think of the Apostle Paul, we think of Paul preaching his sermons, and we looked at his first sermon a couple of weeks ago, and we'll see his sermons throughout the New Testament and the letters and so on and so forth. But what I want to point out here is this, is that Paul didn't preach to these ladies. He just sat down and he had a conversation with them. The Bible says he spoke to them. And God has called us to share the wonderful news of Christ. And like Paul, we need sometimes just to sit down and have a conversation with somebody. Not preach, you know, just to sit down and just have a casual conversation with somebody. That's our responsibility. And so we see a woman here who was tender to the word of the Lord. And we see a faithful servant who decided to have a conversation with her to share Christ. And when that took place, the Bible tells us that the Lord opened her heart. As she heard the word of God concerning the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us the Lord opened her heart to respond to the word spoken by Paul. It was truth that she had been searching for. She knew now that Jesus was the answer. The point being made here is though that it was the Holy Spirit of God who opened her heart. And when he opened her heart, she responded to the word. And the Bible says that she was saved in her whole household. We are told that she was baptized in his word of testimony to her faith. Dr. Phillips writes in his book, he says, Lydia's testimony and example emboldened others, notably her own servants and dependents, to make a similar confession of their faith. He goes on to say, often one person standing up fearlessly for Christ will encourage others to do the same by the sheer force of their example. Dr. Wiersbe says, God opened her heart to the truth, and she believed and was saved. She boldly identified herself with Christ by being baptized, and she insisted that the missionaries come and stay at her home. And we know that Paul, the Bible says, that he came and he stayed at their household. And I believe in my heart, no doubt, as Paul was spending his time there at that house, was probably teaching them and discipling them in the word of the Lord and establishing a new church there in the city of Philippi. But this is the point I want to make this morning, folks, is this. That there are many all around us today that know something about the Lord. There are those around us today that even know something about the Scripture. I mean, they can quote Psalm 23. They know something about the Word of the Lord. They know something about God. They're even, what we call God-fearers, those who believe that there is a God. But their knowledge is not complete. They don't know the truth of the gospel. You know, I've shared with you folks before my own personal testimony, you know, raised in church. Then in eighth grade, we all got baptized and became members of the church. And people told us that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world and how true that is. And I grew up knowing about God, knowing that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. But nobody told me he died for me. And it does no good unless you understand it's personal. It's personal. You know, I went for 27 years knowing about God, knowing about the Word of God. My mother made sure we was in church every time the doors opened. We grew up that way. But I thank God that my heart one day became tender and somebody took the time to tell me about Jesus. Folks, there's people out there all over right now with hearts that are tender, that want to know the truth. I don't care what people say. People say nobody wants to hear it today. Yes, they do. Amen. And they're out there today, and their hearts are tender. And the Lord is just waiting for a messenger to come over there and just sit down and have a cup of coffee and talk with them. Just have a conversation. And folks, we're responsible. We're responsible to start that, initiate that conversation. And it's the Holy Spirit of God who will open the heart to receive the word of God. And so Paul goes to Philippi. And what's the Lord do? The Lord brings him to a woman and some other ladies there at the river and her household. And there were a group of people whose hearts were tender to hear the truth. But now the whole situation changes. If you look at verse 16, it says, now it happened as they went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. And the girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that very hour. The second person that we see, I've identified this person as one with a tormented heart. This is the second conversion here, none likely very different than the first. If you look at the first one, it was a cultured lady. Now this was a captive slave. The first was a successful businesswoman. Now it was a demon-possessed girl. But it was a young lady in bondage. Now, we don't know her name. But we know that she was possessed by a demonic spirit. That's what the Bible tells us. And this demonic possessed girl was able to make inspire utterances. In other words, she had a gift to be able to tell the future. And her masters were making a lot of money off of her, as people would flock around to have their fortunes told. In other words, she was a very valuable piece of property. And under the slave laws of Rome at that particular time, she was entirely at the master's mercy. But even the demons know who Jesus is. The Bible here tells us, you know, that the spirit that was inside her, the demonic spirit that was inside her, the unclean spirit, kept proclaiming these words, you know, that he says, I know who you are. You're the servants of the Most High who does what? To proclaim the way of salvation. James tells us in James chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. They know there is a God, and they know that Jesus Christ is the one and only way to heaven. And for many days, this young girl would follow the Apostle Paul and the others. And the message that was coming out of her from the demons was the same. But then the word of God. The word of God there in verse 18. Paul commanded the demon spirit in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And the demonic spirit obeyed him immediately, demonstrating Jesus' authority over the spirit. Jesus Christ has absolute authority over every evil spirit. And Paul was able to have the confidence that this slave girl could be free from this demonic power. And he spoke the words, and she was set free. Dr. Phillips says, Paul was grieved for the poor, lost, demon-possessed slave girl. His heart went out to her and all her lostness. The girl was set free from a spiritual captivity worse than any slavery devised by Rome. Her chains fell off. Her soul was free. Here's what I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is Paul saw a life that was trapped. Paul saw a life that was tormented, that needed to be set free. He saw the value in this one life. To her master, she was simply a way to make money. To the Lord, she was a blessed child who needed to be delivered. Paul looked at her a totally different way than what her masters did. I would believe by now, Paul was probably understanding why God led him to Philippi. You know, I think he's starting to understand that there were many hearts there that needed to be changed by the message of the gospel. Unfortunately, folks, what takes place here in verse 16, this young lady being entrapped by a master, being controlled as a slave, unfortunately, that takes place all over the world today. I remember a couple years ago being at a conference where Dr. Franklin Graham was the guest speaker, and he had just gotten back from Thailand, where him and his crew were there helping young ladies to be getting free, to be free from the bondage of the sex trade, and sharing the gospel with many who come to know Jesus Christ through that ministry there. The point I'm trying to make, folks, is this: there's many in bondage today. We look at this young girl, and she was enslaved by a demonic spirit. But folks, there are people all around us that are in bondage today. There are people that are in bondage to drugs, in bondage to alcohol, in bondage to sexual immorality, in bondage to depression, in bondage here to success. Because of success, they have no time for the Lord. They're in bondage. And we could go on with that list. There are people today that need to be set free from that which is holding them from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Every one of them are important. When you see it on the news, you look at the homeless and some of the drug addicts and different things, and if you know folks that are involved in some of these different problems that are in life there, every one of these folks are important to God. And I'm saying that because we need to take the opportunity that when we cross their path to share the gospel with them, it is only the word of God that is going to set a person free. I know the different rehab places and stuff, those things are good. But really, what truly sets a person free is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul spoke only the words, and this tormented young girl was set free. And so the Holy Spirit, Paul has arrived at Philippi, and the Holy Spirit opened a tender heart, and then he opened a tormented heart. But now he would see, we will see how the Holy Spirit opens a toughened heart, an old tough heart. Every time I read that, and I've looked at this message throughout this week studying it, when I see that word toughened heart, he's in heaven, so he won't hear me. I just think of my dad. You know, he was a hard, hard man. And didn't go to church. He wouldn't go to church. And finally, one day, his heart was softened. He come to know Jesus. Became a deacon at 78. But every time I think of this man here and a hard, old, tough heart, I think of my dad. And I see how God can take and tenderize the hardest heart. Listen to what happens. When her master saw their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they were thrown into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosened. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And so they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved in your whole household." And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all of his family were baptized. And when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. Now you see from that passage of scripture, not everybody was very pleased with the new freedom this young lady had. And so Paul and Silas are arrested, they're beaten, and they're put in jail without a trial. Verse 24 tells us that they were put in maximum security. I mean, they were put into the lowest part of the prison, and they were put in shackles, and the door was slammed, and they were there with their bodies scarred and bleeding. And from what I read, where this prison cell was, they had to be hunched over and cramped down. They couldn't sit straight up. And so they were in a very, very uncomfortable position. And this hardened old jailer didn't even treat their wounds. He just threw them in there. But if you look at verse 25 and 26, you see faith. Paul's faith and Silas's faith and confidence within the Lord. They didn't respond to the situation as other prisoners would. They revealed their confidence in God, and they believed that God would give them an opportunity, even there in the prison, to share the gospel. And we see Paul and Silas here begin in verse 25, they began to pray. Instead of complaining and calling out God to judge their enemies, they just began to pray. And then in verse 25, the Bible says that they worshiped the Lord. They began to sing and to praise the Lord. I read this statement years ago. It said this: when you are in pain, the midnight hour is not an easiest time for a hymn. But God gives us a song in the night. You can find that quote too in the book of Psalms. There was not a ray of light in that little dark cell that they were in that night, but they still sang. They did not just sing any song, but hymns. Songs that would lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't sing silently, neither. They sang so loud that the other prisoners in the prison could hear them, could hear the prayers of Paul, could hear the songs that they were singing. And I'm sure that the songs they were singing was proclaiming the gospel message. I mean, I think they were listening because, you know, I think this their prayers and songs had an impact because, when the prison doors were opened and the chains were fell off, they stayed there, you know. I like to think that night that there were many, many hearts within the prison that were touched that night. Because when given the opportunity to run away, they didn't. But folks, when we're in that situation and we have confidence in God and we pray and sing and we worship Him, then God is faithful to do what only He can do. And you see that in verse 26. The Bible says that God caused an earthquake, and it was of such sufficient magnitude that it opened all the doors in the prison. The foundations was loosened. And then all of a sudden, think about this. The shackles just fell off. They just fell off of the people. At the same time that all takes place there, God does something else. He gets the attention of the jailer. None of the prisoners fled. God had gotten their attention as well. But the jailer, remember, in those days in the Roman Empire, if your prisoner escaped, then you had to pay the penalty for what that was. And so him, realizing that the prisoners were escaping, he decided to take his own life. But Paul calls out to him and assures them that everybody was still there. And then God takes at that time and takes a hardened old heart and opens it to the gospel, verse number 30 there. Now think of the miracles that have already taken place here. The earthquake, the shackles falling off, none of the prisoners escaping, but now another miracle will take place. Because the jailer gets a light, goes in, takes Paul and Silas out of the prison, and then he says this: what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? He asked the most important question that anyone could ever ask. That is the most important question. You're listening on Facebook today. That is the most important question. What must I do to be saved? Dr. Wiersbe said it was the jailer who was the prisoner, not Paul. And Paul not only saved his life, but pointed him to eternal life in Jesus Christ. And the jailer's question was both sincere and simple. It was a cry of lost people worldwide. Folks, please understand that. We're told in our society today, people don't want to hear the gospel. People don't care about God. Don't care about the church. But folks, that cry, what must I do to be saved, is a cry of lost people all around the world. People are asking that question. What must I do to be saved? And like Paul, we ought to be ready with an answer. And Paul just simply said this: believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. He made it clear there's nothing else you can do because Jesus is already on the law. All you need to do is to believe on Christ. Confess your sins to Christ and believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again. And he promises that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's another miracle that takes place. The jailer's life was totally transformed that night. He no longer was a tough and calloused heart. His eyes had been opened. And now what was he doing? He was ministering to the Apostle Paul and Silas. He was sharing the message with his family because the Bible tells us that his family gets saved. He takes them into his house. He tends to their wounds and he sets food before them. And so we see all these miracles taking place, but I don't want you to miss this miracle. And it's found in verse 34. It's now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them and he rejoiced. Folks, there is no greater joy that you can have in your heart than to see somebody come to belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. The jailers whose heart was hardened, who cared little about nothing, who would put a man in the jail cell with their backs bleeding from being beaten with rods and not care about it? That's his heart, but now it's different. And the Bible says here that he rejoiced, having believed in God in his household. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of Luke, it says this, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. As I thought about this passage of Scripture, I just thought, just think, can you imagine that day at the riverside when Lydia trusts Christ and her household and those, can you just see the worship service going on in heaven that day? And then when this enslaved girl, demon-possessed girl, hears the truth and the demon is cast out, can you just see the angels of heaven worshiping and praising God because another sinner had come to faith in Christ? And then it wasn't even over. The very next night, that very night, the jailer and his whole household comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then once again, I think the worship service is still just going on. I don't think it stops, you know. Folks, my point is this, that God will place us in some unlikely situations. But we must see those situations as opportunities to share the gospel. In that prison cell, Paul and Silas demonstrated their faith by praying, singing, and sharing the word. And when we are faithful, God will use us to do the same thing. And God can take the toughest heart and open it up. How many times have you heard that person will never get saved? Oh, yes, they will. Oh, sure they will. When you get to heaven, ask my dad. Sure they will. Sure they will. I am sure by now Paul knows why God led him to Philippi. You know, the door was truly open, and many came to Christ in his stay there. Over the years, the Church of Philippi shared in Paul's missionary work through prayer and financial support. One of the great epistles in the New Testament is the book of Philippians. And as you read through the book of Philippians, you'll see how Paul's love for them and their love for Paul, and the, one of the main words that go all the way through the book of Philippians is this, joy. Either joy or some reference, joy or rejoicing. Read it and just highlight every time you see it. And to me, it just says that, you know, think about all the hearts that were changed and the joy that was taking place in Philippi when people came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so today, just a heart change, folks. God knows the hearts of those all around us. And his desire is to change that heart. Paul says in the book of Timothy, he says the desire of God's heart is that all men come to know the truth. It is God's desire that all men come to know the truth of the gospel. And you and I have a responsibility, like Paul and Silas, to take the opportunities given to us to share the gospel. And God, through the Holy Spirit, will change your heart. There are many out there now, right now, with a very tender heart, just waiting for somebody to tell them. There are those out there today that are in bondage. They are truly in bondage. And the only thing that will set them free is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are those out there that you may look at and say, that person will never trust Christ, but Christ and the Holy Spirit and the gospel will melt that heart and open it up to the truth of the gospel. God is still doing miracles today, and he wants to use you, and he wants to use me, and he wants to use First Baptist Church to help bring the change in the lives of many people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for this opportunity that we've had to share your word today. Father, help us to be sensitive. I guess that's the message that we need to say this morning. We just need to be sensitive to all of those that are around us that need to hear the gospel. And help us to be sensitive to that. And then help us to just take the opportunities, whoever they might be, for the only thing that will truly change your heart to set people free is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let us just be faithful to share that with those who we come encounter with. Father, I pray this morning, if there'd be one here today, maybe one listening by Facebook that does not know Christ as their Savior, today could be the greatest day of their life, and they would just put their faith and trust in Christ. The answer to that question, what must I do to be saved? Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all. And so we pray that would be true today. We pray now, Father, that you would, if there be somebody here today that needs to have prayer, maybe baptized or join the church, whatever the need might be, as we sing this song of invitation, may we be obedient to your call. We'd ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.